3,000. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Acts 2, verse 41. We see many numbers in Scripture, and we find them in two kinds of places. We find them in apocalypses, such as the last book of the Bible. We also find them in sober, regular historical accounts, such as here in Acts 2, when we are told that on one particular day of Pentecost, about 3,000 were brought to saying yes in response to the revelation given on that day. We usually think that numbers are difficult to understand when they appear in apocalypses, but that they are very easy to explain when mentioned in historical accounts. For apocalyptical numbers are indeed difficult to understand. Their comparisons are expressed in symbolic terms. It is not that easy to read the comparisons from the symbolic numbers themselves. Two witnesses, 144,000 that are sealed, 1,000 years, 1,260 days. But we think that the numbers in historical accounts are not difficult to explain. They are literally accurate. And with that, everything has been said. Thus, we are amazed that 3,000 persons affirmed themselves in a decisive manner on the Feast of Pentecost. Yet it is not so with these numbers. Certainly, apocalyptical numbers are difficult to interpret. But when we have explained them, when the exegetical difficulties have been overcome, then we are also finished with them. For then those numbers give us a view, an insight into the history and to its meaning. For those numbers give a particular history. But in the historical accounts, we indeed have history, but not very particular. And that is exactly the difficulty here, to find the exact meaning also in these numbers. Facts indeed contain in themselves the meaning of God's counsel. But facts do not explain themselves. The interpretation, the particular facts of history and their exact meanings, appear in other parts of Scripture. For example, in the dogmatic letters, and also in the Apocalypse. Thus, the number of a historical book may need the commentary of an apocalyptical number. The latter then explains the former. It indeed explains the text in a manner difficult to analyze, but nevertheless, it is an interpretation. And thus, we are confronted with the numbers of the first day of Pentecost, about 3,000. Is that much? Or is that but a few? Is this encouraging? Or is it discouraging? Indeed, that little word about, approximately, is somewhat disappointing. But the important thing of the day of Pentecost is that people are converted from Aaron and his high priests to Melchizedek, to the priest of Melchizedek's order. Now Aaron had indeed, in the first books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, very accurate numbers. These are the counted ones, it says, and then follows a very accurate number. And after that, another one. And one can compare them and count them and make up some statistics. But on this day, now that Melchizedek's priesthood was designated by the Spirit and pronounced over against the people, on this day Melchizedek did not get a precise number. There appears that ugly word, about. Apparently, they did not know the exact number. It could not be indicated very precisely. Of course, the baptizing of 3,000 did not take place on one day. Probably the number was determined later from recorded sources. Several of them would have left, and others withdrew themselves. Ananias and Sapphira would not have been the only ones who thought of having experienced the process while having been mistaken about themselves. And thus the church had not been able to record an exact number in its registries, an accurate copy of what was recorded in God's books above. Even on that day it did not work, even though the fullness of the Spirit was fuller than ever. Approximately. And that on a festive day, which was, with one exception, the greatest day in the history of the world. Indeed, only one festive day will exceed that day, the last day. Approximately. Moreover, How many were 3,000 compared to so many people that were present? Josephus estimated the number of people present to have been 2,700,000. A scholar of today says that this is not impossible. Is that much? If that was true, it would mean 1 of every 900. Is that a lot? Is this many? It is if you compare the number of speakers to the listeners. But they are few if you pay attention to the number of those who profess their faith to all that were present. Even less if you pay attention to the parallels which Ananias and Sapphira, Simon the sorcerer, and others would have had, even though they are not mentioned in Scripture. That they are not mentioned, for the Acts of the Apostles is no authentic register of a lawyer, is also one of the remarkable ways of God's revelation in the historical books. The facts, but a particular specification is another matter. Perhaps Josephus may have exaggerated somewhat. You may detract a large portion of his numbers, but I have already said enough for you and myself to be certain of the fact that the number here is no specific number in the meaning of infallible revelation, the meaning of God's thoughts in regards to the relationships of numbers as they are known in heaven from eternity, from before the world was created. I will need to remember the numbers of the Apocalypse. Two witnesses, 144,000 sealed ones, a minority over against the world, a completeness in itself, a round number when I pay attention to the eternal election, that great and comforting miracle of eternal election. And now I am glad again. For on that day, on that particular day, they also had to write approximately. On that day, even on that day, one was not able to give the earth exact copies of the books of God in heaven. On that day also, there were the enthusiastic ones, the hypocrites, those who always nodded yes, but in reality deep in their heart maintained their no. On that day there was a very great feast in the church, but praise be to God that it was not the church in exaltation. The church was not snatched away in visions, not made superhuman, and not taken from the earth. Also at that time there was tension, which on the one hand paraphrased the words of the Sermon on the Mount, "Be perfect, as my Father is perfect," as "Count exactly as my Father counts exactly," and on the other hand knew that one was not able to make facsimiles on earth of books, registry books, from heaven. The church still had to finish with an approximately, and the knowledge that one, also today, counts those whom they tomorrow have to beat to death by the word, Ananias and Sapphira. And now I am again at the line of Pentecost. I, along with my church, my consistory, my clerk, and my membership book. For this committee of Pentecost was no committee of heaven. It was no exception because of this particular feast. It had the same tension as I and my consistory have today. And what about my church? Will she preserve the continuity with those who were counting at the feast of Pentecost? If so, she will have to know, on the one hand, that as far as it depends on her, she should have the sincere desire to count perfectly, just as the Father in heaven counts perfectly, and will not forget nor overlook anyone, no star and no soul. But on the other hand, the church needs to know that the approximately will remain, also when she accepts this calling, and that which is before her eyes will bind her, also in the counting. And this tension is the glory and the weakness of the Church of Pentecost. In this she has her task, her work, her legitimacy. Not Jeanne de l'Abbadie, neither the mainline church, but the church counting thus in tension is the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. She is not in ecstasy and not in heaven. Instead, she is filled with the Spirit and speaks on earth of the great works of God, and she counts and cannot possibly go further than that. and whatever there is left will only remain before God and for the others who have a heart in which only God can read. The day of Pentecost was an ordinary day. What a great joy and blessing that is!